You're listening to The Wedding Whisperer with Sarah Burton of Simply Love Studio in Lexington, Kentucky.
I'm in Junction City, Kentucky today with Cindy from Suites by Cindy. And if you are not familiar with Junction City, it is in Boyle County, and it is maybe 2 miles from Walmart in Danville. I was not familiar with Junction City before I met Cindy. But Cindy, thank you so much for joining me today. So I always have to tell people how we met because I still think it's really funny. Whenever I first started wedding planning in 2008-ish, I felt like as a wedding planner, I needed to know a little bit about every different vendor. And I wanted to take cake classes because a lot of times in a smaller town where I grew up, the planner had to cut the wedding cake. And if I was going to cut the wedding cake, I needed to know how the wedding cake was assembled. So I took essentially like a 16-week Wilton course that they teach at like Hobby Lobby in Lexington. And we had that as a smaller shop in Somerset. I did the first 4 classes. I could handle those. Those are easy because I can't cook or bake or anything. And those went well. And then I actually ended up missing the next 4 and had to pick up on the next class. And so I had all new people in my next session that I didn't start the class with. And of course, I was late to that class that night because I'm late everywhere, and there was 1 seat left. It was in the back row, which is obviously where I prefer. And so I sit down, and it just happened to be Cindy. I had never met her at this time. This was MySpace time. I remember telling the teacher after the first night that I didn't want to sit beside her again because clearly she was a professional, and I was not a professional. And I don't know if it was the first night that we had to use royal icing and draw these blue birds, but it may have been that first night, and that may have been the reason that I told the teacher that, because my bird looked like a beginner bird.
It was still good.
It was not. And Cindy's bird did not look like a beginner bird. Well, there was nowhere else for me to sit the next week, so I sat beside Cindy, and I don't know at what point I had my BlackBerry out. I had my company logo as my screensaver background, and Cindy was like, "Oh, I think we're MySpace friends."
Back in the day.
Back in the day. And the rest is history. And here we are
14 years 15, later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However many years later. And so since then, Cindy has essentially made all of my family's cakes, birthday cakes, special occasion cakes. And I wanted to have her on the podcast today because I really think her story is unique. It's fun. It is different. But it's also, I think, it will resonate with a lot of people. So Cindy, let's talk about in 2008, 9, whatever year I met you, you were a dental assistant.
Yes, ma'am. I was a dental assistant and had been there probably a good almost 20 years and started making cakes on the side for girls we worked with. Started doing a little birthday cake for the girls here and there. Kind of tried drawing on one, and one thing led for the rest of the story, and it kind of went crazy from there. So here we are. And now, instead of me telling people not to eat sugar and giving them something sweet, I'm sending them back to my dentist because I'm sending people to her now. But I just went for it, decided to open the store, and it's been 12 years.
I know you were kind of to the point where you were making so many cakes on the weekend that you literally, you had to tell people no.
Yes.
And so that was kind of all or nothing at that point, where you had to open up a cake shop and have the room and have your spare bedroom back where you had all of your cake pans and all of those things. And so you opened up your shop, which is where it is now in Junction City, which is essentially like the main street in Junction City. It was beside the police department. You opened in June of 2012. And I remember on that first day that you opened, and this is a story I always told my interns too, that we had no idea what was going to happen on your first day. When you open a business, and especially a storefront, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how many people to expect. And so I feel like you made 500 cupcakes is what we opened with that day.
Yep.
And when I say we, I came just to hang out and help that day.
Yeah, as a residential stove, stand-up mixer, you know, just having fun in the kitchen kind of thing.
Yeah, essentially straight from the house here. You had just the stove. Yeah. You had purchased a few things, but it wasn't like industrial and over the top. And Well, those 500 cupcakes were gone by noon that day.
Yes.
And the line was out the door, and there were people everywhere.
People everywhere, all from just letting people know what we were doing, posting a few things on Facebook, and then people knowing, you know, that the store was going to open. But we had them lined out the door. I can remember my neighbor next door, when I met him that very first day, he said, I had to come over and see what all the fuss was about because I kept looking out my upstairs window and it looked like a bunch of ants running in and out of the building. So I knew something was going on. And it worked out to his advantage because he had a serious sweet tooth. So he was my new best friend after that. That first day, we probably sold over 1,000 cupcakes. And pretty close to that, the Saturday after that too. And it's been nonstop ever since.
Whenever I had interns, I would always bring them down to her shop, usually once a semester, so that they could see it, and I would share her story with them. I tell people that the reason she was so successful is because during those years that she did make cakes from home, she went above and beyond for people. If they ordered 2 dozen cupcakes and she had 6 extra cupcakes with their order, she would give it to them. And she just always kind of took care of people, and I felt like that was their way, that opening day of saying thank you to her for what she had done for them over the years and just being nice. It's so hard to find people that are nice in today's world, sadly. And I feel like her community really came out to support her that first day and have continued to support her since. As I talked about, a lot of my personal and family cakes and birthday cakes have come from Cindy over the years. My personal favorite flavor is just your traditional white. I have my favorite flavors from everybody. I don't know what it is about your white cake, but it is life for me.
White cake and buttercream icing, I just don't feel you can go wrong. It's my go back to my favorite as well. White cake is just good. And, you know, it's a good neutral cake too. So any occasion or anything that you're doing, you're always going to make somebody happy with white cake.
What other flavors do you see being your most popular flavors as far as when people come into your store to buy cupcakes on the daily basis and then for weddings?
Normally daily basis, if you walk in the shop, we're going to normally have anywhere from 12 to 15 different flavors of cupcakes per day. We carry your normal white, chocolate, strawberry cupcakes just so people can come in and grab that normal that don't want anything different. And then everything else varies. But we started making we call it a death by chocolate cupcake because it's chocolate cupcake loaded with all the extra chocolate pieces, buttercream icing dipped in a chocolate ganache on top of it. You can dip anything in chocolate and make it good. It's going to catch somebody's attention right off the bat anyway. But then a vanilla caramel is your basic white cupcake, but we make this decadent caramel that goes in the middle of it. And then you buttercream icing the top of it and drizzle caramel on the top of that. And it's just good. Those are probably our top two cupcakes as far as basically people walking in. And I feel like as far as weddings also, because it's not just your basic white and chocolate, you can still give the people the option of dressing it up a little bit, not just your standard. Your flavors are unlimited with cake. You can add, mix in anything that you want to. You've got candy bar pieces, you've got fruit, you've got so many combinations that you make. One of the favorites that a lot of people don't think about a whole lot, but it's a butterscotch bacon cupcake. It's a butterscotch cupcake, but it has your buttercream icing on it. It's dipped in a butterscotch ganache with brown sugar bacon pieces on top of it. And it's pretty darn good, I do have to say.
And so I guess I did not mention this in the beginning. Sweets by Cindy is open Tuesday through Friday from 9 until 6, and then on Saturday from
9 to 1.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have the bakery open 5 days a week.
Yes.
And then you do wedding cakes literally every day of the week because weddings happen every day of the week.
Weddings happen every day.
Yes. And then a lot of times you'll have deliveries on Sunday as well for weddings.
Yeah. We've done Sundays, Mondays, any day. People have all kinds of different schedules that they have to go by. So we just accommodate what they need.
Over the past few years, how have you seen trends in wedding cakes change or shift?
You know, it seems like when I first started, you know, your main cakes were for everybody. Then you have your main cake with cupcakes on the side. I feel like over the last few years, there have been a lot of people that have gravitated to your smaller single tier or smaller two tier cakes to have something smaller for them to cut, but then cupcakes for everybody else. one thing, I think cupcakes are easier to serve because you don't have to have someone cut the cake. But I feel like the dessert tables have been a trend that have been starting over the past year to 2 years ago. We've seen a lot of that already this year with people wanting to talk about different desserts for weddings. So they'll go smaller cake and do more options for different desserts and things that go with it. Still do cupcakes, just because that way they're still accommodating cake for most all of their guests. But with a mix in of brownies, bars, you know, parfaits, different things like that, you just give people more variation of what you can do.
And if you have followed me on Instagram for any length of time or listened to podcasts previously, you will know that I am team having a wedding cake at the wedding. A lot of times I will have couples say, well, we went to a wedding, or my friend said that nobody ate her wedding cake. Most likely, if no one ate the wedding cake, it is because it was never actually cut and served.
Right.
Because a lot of times people forget that the wedding cake has to have that done, and not all caterers do that. Mm-hmm. And if it's not a full service caterer, they may have completely just packed up and left right after dinner. And so if you do have a wedding cake, you do need to have someone that is going to be there to cut it and serve it and have it ready. Definitely a conversation to have with your planner. And I do think that that is part of the reason the dessert bars have become so popular, and especially like cupcakes as well, is because it's literally grab and go.
Yep. Nobody has to cut it.
Exactly. As long as you have cupcakes at your wedding, I'm still coming. But what are some, you mentioned like brownies being popular. Mm-hmm. We talked about chocolate dipped strawberries earlier, parfaits. When you say parfait, what I think of like a yogurt parfait from McDonald's, but that's right. Obviously not what you're talking about.
We do a lot of like your cheesecake parfaits. You know, like different kind of crust, cheesecake in the middle, topped with some with berries, some with chocolate, caramel, different things like that. We've done anything from those to like banana pudding cups. We've done complete pudding cups with fruit on top of it. Depending on the couple and what they want, we've done a wide variation of thing. The little cheesecake shooters are probably the most popular ones. Got your little spoon that's attached to it off the side. They're pretty sitting on the table. You've got a little dessert there that's topped with berries on top of it. Or just, you know, load of the chocolate. That's just something, it's eye-catching when you see something different like that on a table versus just one thing sitting there, but you don't know which way to go to first, depending on how many options that you do have.
Whenever you do a dessert bar for someone, how many options do you recommend that they do have?
Depending on the number of people that they have, of course, in the wedding party and coming, I go as least option as possible, just because depending on what the couple wants to spend, because the more options you have, the more people want to try. So if you have cake there and you have three or four different options of things, obviously, if it was me, I'm going to want a piece of cake plus something else. Maybe a cookie now and something else on the way, you know, by the table, just because it's there. So I would say if they're doing cake, I always say if they want to do cookies and things like that, I would go two options of cookies. And then maybe if they wanted to do dip pretzels or some shooters to mix in with the amount. But somebody's always going to want to try more than one thing. You can't just plan a dessert table on 100 people with 100 things, because you've got to have multiples of everything, for not for it to just look good, but for your guests to be able to have what they want to have.
And do you see most of the desserts being a chocolate base?
I would say a lot, just because, you know, when you get into brownies, your cheesecakes and things like that, your chocolate chip cookies. But, you know, there's so many other ways you can go with that as well, because there's so many options for cookies. You got peanut butter. You've got oatmeal, has so many variations. We do an oatmeal cranberry white chocolate that a lot of people really like. And then chess bars. A lot of people love those. And you've got lemon bars. Your possibilities for desserts are endless, depending on, you know, what they like and what they want to do.
And I know that being here in the Danville area, you're really close to like Warrenwood and Arcadia. And those venues being barns, for example, does an outdoor venue have an effect on what you can do for a dessert bar?
As far as temperature-wise, yes, just because when you start dealing with your cheesecakes and things like that need to be refrigerated, of course, that's one thing we may not get to set things up right until close to ceremony time. And it may have to be kept in the kitchen to where it's cooled until right at reception time when they can actually bring it out. So you may not get to have that table sit there and look as pretty as you wanted to. But, you know, it still should be able to get set out in plenty of time for everybody to enjoy everything.
I know that your wedding cake pricing is $4 a slice.
Yes.
So if you are not familiar with wedding cake pricing, essentially if you are getting cake for 100 guests, then it would be $4 a slice. But then, of course, there's going to be tiers that will go into that, how many tiers you want, if it's round, if it's square, those kind of things. But that's always a good estimate.
Right.
And then a lot of times I will hear couples say that they want to do a dessert bar because they think it's going to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say that being the case?
I don't when you get into dessert bars because your cake is one thing. Like if you needed cake for, say, 100 people, and like you were saying, yes, that's $400. Well, when you start getting into bars, parfaits, things like that, it could equal up to just as much or more. Just because if you accommodate enough cake for each guest and then you start adding other desserts on top of that, to have a full pretty table, you need to make sure you have enough desserts there to fill up the trays that you're using and enough for at least the people that want to try that can, that you don't just have like 6 or a dozen of something sitting out there. You need to have a pretty table that's the whole purpose of what you're doing is to have that dessert bar there, and it's going to look good. It's going to taste better, but it's going to look good. And I think you could run into just depending on how many options you wanted to give people. I mean, you could get into quite a bit more with that.
Is there like an average amount that you see people spending on a dessert bar, or what do you think the average like per person is?
An average, I have a lot of people that if they just want to add something different, they may do cake for everybody, but then they may add like 2 different kinds of cookies just to mix in with the mix. Maybe do like if they've got say even 75 to 100 people, they may do like 3 to 4 dozen of 2 types of cookies, like 3 to 4 dozen chocolate chip cookies, 3 to 4 dozen oatmeal, something like that, just to give a variation to the table, or dip pretzels, things like that. A lot of times with me, you know, cake-wise, you have your set fee, and, you know, it depends on detailed design. You know, things can alter pricing, but one thing with the cupcakes, as long as they're iced normal, like what you have in the store when you walk in, the cupcakes are only $1.50 each. So, you know, that can vary your pricing on your whole setup and make it a little bit lower where you get into somebody might not want a 3-tier cake. They may go with just a small 2-tier cake, but they may do a cake to serve 30 people and then, you know, 70 cupcakes to make up what they need and then mix in some cookies with it. Cupcakes are going to make a pretty table too, just because you can layer them, tower them, and I think with just the different icings on them, they look pretty in themselves. So it's still going to look good.
And you said a key word there, tower.
Yes.
So when you have even a cake or desserts, you need to have stands for everything.
Yes.
We're not just going to set those on a bourbon barrel top. Mm-hmm. We're not going to just set those on top of the bourbon barrel.
Right.
We're going to put those on a linen or something so that there's a stand on it so that is clean and sanitary.
Yes.
And I know that if a couple goes through you for their wedding, you have multiple options when it comes to stands that they can use.
Yes.
And I know that some couples opt to use their own. Maybe it was grandma's cake stand or a family stand, or they went to the peddler's mall and bought them.
Yep.
One of the things that I always caution them about is if you're working with a cake person or a dessert person is to talk about gold versus silver. Mm-hmm. If you're having like silver chairs and silver accents, then you want to make sure that they're not bringing in all gold yes. dessert stands.
Make sure everything matches.
And then also be kind to your baker and get their stands back to them in a timely manner. I know that in your brain, you think that that's going to be super easy and not a big deal. Put somebody in charge of that. That is not you. That is not your mom. Maybe it is your planner, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's an aunt. Maybe that's their only job with the whole wedding is just taking care of that. Because I know it's really stressful for them, especially if they have a wedding that next Saturday and they want to get the stands. Because a lot of bakers, I know Cindy and Cameron, they don't charge extra for you to use their stands. And so if you can just go a little extra mile and return those and say thank you and also return those clean. They don't have to be spotless, but just don't have dried icing on there, especially if you've had it in the back of your car for 2 months. just kind of be respectful of that. That's my public service announcement of the day. And then when it comes to tastings, yes. I know that your tastings are a little different because you do have a storefront. Yes. And so it's easier for couples to be able to come in and meet with you or one of your team members to talk about tastings.
Yes.
Share with me a little bit about how that process works.
So when we have someone come in normally, we go over, of course, all their basic information. But if we know ahead of time flavors that the couple would like to try, I normally let people pick from, usually I give them your basic white and chocolate cupcake anyway. And they usually have about four other options that they could choose from with me. And we would make sure that we had those cupcakes when they came in that day. They don't have to try them here. Normally I will have things boxed up for them to take home with them just because, you know, I don't want to pressure anybody by making them eat cake in front of me or around me. There's a lot of people that want to try cupcake when they walk in the door. And that's fine as well. I will let someone try whatever they like. But when they actually come in, they see a lot of flavors in the case that they may like to try once they get in here and then they look at it. But, you know, to me, picking flavors is one of the hardest things, especially if you are a sweet eater because you have so many options that you do like. But with a lot of our tastings, we get them in here to find out their basic information. Where is everything going to be at? How many people do we need to feed is our main thing. Because then we can kind of go off of that and break down, okay, how big does our cake need to be? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a tiered cake? Are you looking for a bigger cake, a smaller cake? And then you just start working around that to kind of put together a table that will work for them, whether it ends up being a two-tier cake or a three-tier cake. Some people don't like the idea of cupcakes. They want to do all cake. But then, you know, you have your people that like cupcakes as an option because to me, that's where you can get more fun with your flavors because you have all of your fillings and toppings and things like that, that I feel like you get a lot more flavor in a cupcake at times than you do in just a piece of cake once it's cut, just with all the things that you can do to a cupcake. But normally we go over everything with them, get everything that they need, can tell them anything that I think may work out. We can go over times. Like I do like to make sure that they have stand options because I have been to places that they were supposed to have stands and then didn't have stands. But, you know, I always like to make sure they know what the cake can look like if it's sitting on a stand versus not sitting on a stand. But I like to be able to, if we're going to end up doing the wedding, we get there in a timely manner and we have stands, cake, everything with us. That way I can completely set everything up. I know how everything is going to go and we can take care of everything. I'm very flexible as far as hours meeting with people. We like to technically do consultations on Tuesdays and Wednesdays because we're not quite as crazy with cake as we are towards the weekends. And I know it's hard for some people to get in, but where we do have a storefront, Saturdays are probably our busiest day in the store with pickups for other cakes and stuff that's going on. So it gets kind of crazy for us to be able to talk to people with so much going on. So that's one of our main reasons for trying to do it early in the week. So I do a lot of stuff with people too over the phone. Text messages, sending pictures back and forth, just so we can make sure what everybody wants and we can get everybody taken care of before they do come in. We normally require a deposit if someone decides to book with us, and then we do the remainder of the balance with things the week, 2 weeks prior to, and we do our best to get them taken care of and take care of everything that they need.
Being here in the Danville area, you're almost kind of a central location to this whole region. You go to Somerset, you go to London, you go to Richmond, you go to Georgetown, you go to Lexington, Frankfort, Versailles, sometimes on the outskirts of Louisville a little bit, Shelbyville.
Yes.
And so you do have a bit of a delivery fee. And mm-hmm. It just depends on where you're going to.
Right.
And talking about having a dessert table again, because it is much more time consuming to go in and set up a dessert table with 200 desserts on it versus walking in and delivering a cake.
Mm-hmm.
How do delivery and setup fees typically work?
My delivery fee is based on basically where it's at. If it's something local that's in the Harrodsburg, Garrett County vicinity where I am, you're looking at maybe roughly $50 as far as that. I just base that the further we have to go as far as mileage as a delivery fee. And then, of course, if it is a dessert table, normally, depending on what all you do have to set up, cupcakes can usually go out pretty quickly. But when you're dealing with cookies, bars, brownies, and things like that, you know, you got to get everything plated. You've got to get everything where it looks right, where it's there. So normally with something like that, there's usually like a $50 to $75 additional fee on top of that if you're doing a lot of stuff. Because if you're dealing with cheesecake shooters, things like that, and if you have to end up playing with the weather too, if it's a barn and if it's outside, you know, you have to improvise for things like that. That's one thing that I don't feel like a lot of couples think about as far as wedding day. Oh, yeah, there's a refrigerator there you can put stuff in. The typical refrigerator is not going to hold a 3-tier wedding cake. And it's not going to be big enough for a cupcake box that holds 75 cupcakes. So you're still left with many ways to try to juggle sources to keep things cool until the wedding starts or even get anything set out. So it gets kind of tricky some days. But for the most part, it goes good. And I like to see the tables once they're set up with all the desserts on it, whether it's just a cake and cupcakes or a full table. It's pretty seeing everything set out there.
And I know a lot of times couples find it's kind of hard to budget for the things like delivery fees and setup fees because you're like, okay, well, if my cake is $4 a slice and I'm having 100 people, my cake's going to be $400 in tax. Mm-hmm. And they don't think about, you know, the time that it takes you to deliver that because a lot of times people will, why is there a delivery fee? If it's only 30 minutes from there, why is it costing that? Typically, you have a second staff person that goes with you that makes sure that the cake stays in place in the car. Because being in a smaller town, sometimes you have some interesting roads and challenges and hills.
Yep.
And then it's kind of, okay, we're carrying the stand in, we're carrying the boxes in. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times on Saturdays, you may have 4 or 5 deliveries in different cities. So you have someone back at the shop that is literally prepping for the next one. And so I don't ever want people to think that you're like, oh, just pocketing extra money from delivery. Right. It's because you're literally paying your team, your work, and your effort to yes. make all of that happen. And planning out a Saturday delivery for June and October is a whole experience in itself.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, just depending on, like you said, when you get to a venue, you may have 6, 8, 10 stands to get out of your vehicle. The trips that you make in and out, the boxes that you carry in and out, you get the cake in. Depending on how many desserts that you have, there's boxes for each dessert. There's boxes for cupcakes. You make multiple trips running in and out of a venue just to get your boxes in to be able to get the table set up, to get the stuff on it. So it's not just like dropping something off. We like to make sure that when we drop things off, things are taken care of. And a lot of people will say, well, we'll just pick it up or we'll have somebody pick it up. Most people, once they think about it, they change their mind. Because there's not too many people that they would trust wedding day to make sure that their cake is going to make it there in one piece. And we have had that happen before. And we have had to fix problems and issues that had happened with someone else picking it up. At least if I bring it, I know it's going to get there. Because I'm going to get there in enough time that if something does happen, I will be able to take care of the problem and fix it. And you never know that anything did happen.
So has anything ever happened?
Not per se to me. We had a cake last month that someone picked up on one of these little roads and a combine pulled out in front of her. She hit her brakes and it was a painted cake. It was a tall 2-tier cake that had been painted. So it was not an easy fix. We basically had to rebake the cake after that little incident. And luckily the wedding was on a Sunday because I was out of town for another wedding that we actually did in North Carolina that weekend. So I came back early Sunday to fix the cake and get it delivered to them before the ceremony started on Sunday after the little combine incident.
And I have just a sedan, so I don't have an SUV. So anytime that a 2-tier cake is the absolute max that I will put in my front floorboard,
right?
Because it starts leaning and then I'm terrified that something like that's going to happen or my purse is going to fall from the front seat over and smash the cake. Like, I'm terrified just transporting the small cake, like a birthday cake or anything like that. So I can't even imagine transporting someone's wedding cake. Oh, that yeah. literally terrifies me.
You know, it's just one of those things I don't think people think of. They think if they walk out of my shop with a cake, they can put it in the seat and it'll ride fine.
Uh-uh.
Your seat has that tilt to it. So regardless of how cautious you drive, that cake is going to slide in that box if you put it in the seat.
And if I transport that cake, there might be dog hair in the cake by the time it gets there too. So keep that in mind.
That's more fun that way. Yeah.
And then I do want to talk a little bit. We've talked about desserts as a whole. Mm-hmm. And whenever someone comes into your storefront here in Junction City, I will say that they cannot miss it if they even just get on the main road to come here. You have a super cool sign out front that is Sweets by Cindy that is lit up when it's kind of dark outside, but you can still see it if it's not dark. You have a mural on the side of the building that says Sweets by Cindy that is probably like 12 foot wide.
Yeah.
And then you have wings on the back portion of the building that you can do photos with.
Yeah.
It's just a fun photo spot. And then you always have your front windows decorated for every holiday. And when they come in, you have, like you said, 10 to 15 cupcake flavors. Mm-hmm. And then what do you call the cups?
A couple years after we started, we were trying to find out something to do with all of our extra cake. And we just kind of knocked around the name with Scooby Scraps, you know, because it was just a fun name and just something to joke with. But it has turned into probably one of our most popular things because we just take a cup or sometimes a square container and we layer it with cake, icing, and different toppings. And we call it our Scooby Scraps. And people literally just eat them with a spoon. And they're just layered with a bunch of goodness. And you never know what we're going to make because it just depends on what kind of cake we have and what toppings we want to mix with it. But people come and they'll get those to give to someone for a birthday or, you know, anything. Some people just take a few bites out of them, put the lid back on it and put it in the refrigerator and you can eat on it for a few days.
I was going to say, I can probably keep one up to like a week or something. And I always do the caramel.
Vanilla caramel.
Vanilla caramel. I've never tried any of the rest of them because I can't get past that one.
With extra white chocolate chips.
Yeah, fantastic. And then one thing we didn't talk about, I'm going to come back to desserts in a second, is gluten-free.
Yes.
You do offer gluten-free?
Yes, we do. We don't actually keep them in the store all the time, but we do offer a few gluten-free options as well as sugar-free options for those people that need that.
Okay, I thought so.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
So if someone does need gluten-free for like a birthday or something, they just call ahead of time and you can make the cupcakes and have them?
We can do cupcakes. We do have the ability to do gluten-free cakes as well.
Okay.
Usually as long as no one has any dairy issues and we can still use like the buttercream frosting for decorating and things like that. But yeah, we do several of the options for gluten-free.
Talking about the buttercream, so you make all of your buttercream here.
Yes.
There was one time where you did the math and you came up with how many gallons that you did of buttercream in a week. Do you remember what that was?
Oh my gosh. 5 gallon buckets. We make our icing and then we put it in 5 gallon buckets and we probably go through minimum of 30 gallons of buttercream a week. Minimum. Busy wedding season. I mean, it could be 60 gallons because
wild.
With about 1 5-gallon bucket of our buttercream icing, you can ice about 300 cupcakes. So on a busy wedding weekend, if we have 1,000, 1,200 cupcakes for weddings. And then by the time we ice the stuff that we carry in the store as well, and then get your cakes decorated, you go through a lot of buttercream icing.
I knew it was a lot. I didn't remember.
It's a lot of buttercream icing.
Let me tell you, it's real good.
It goes all the time.
And so for other desserts that you have no-bake cookies.
Yep.
You have peanut butter no-bake cookies, which is what I had right before we started this. I had never had peanut butter ones until you, so I eat those now instead of the chocolate.
A lot of people love those better.
You do red velvet cookies, too. I know we talked about other kinds of cookies.
Yeah, red velvet.
And you also do the buttercream sandwiches. So you do 2 cookies and then you put buttercream in the middle and make it extra healthy.
Extra, extra healthy.
And then sometimes you dip those in chocolate too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you even put like M&Ms on the outside of that. So it's even like more nutritious.
Load them up.
I don't know what you call these. I call them my crack brownies. You do layers of brownies. It's kind of like the Scooby Scraps where it's like layers of brownies with buttercream and
fudge.
All the toppings.
Just load it up. You can do it. I think you like the caramel one, right?
It's
the
caramel with pecans, I think.
Yeah. So caramel, pecans, buttercream frosting, layered between 2 brownies. Just extra goodness. Extra goodness.
And that's something too, like, it'll take me a week to eat it.
Oh, yeah.
You can eat like 2 to 3 bites at once and then you're like, okay, that's enough.
It's so rich, but it's so good.
And then what other like flavor? I know you have a couple that you normally keep in that.
We usually keep in that
the Reese's.
The caramel turtle and the peanut butter Reese's. So the peanut butter Reese's has the brownies with the peanut butter buttercream, fudge, and then Reese's cups in it. We've done an Oreo in those. We've done a German chocolate. We've done one that I think your mother loves. This called the Balm.
With all the...
It's got Oreo pieces, M&M's, sweetened condensed milk, fudge, buttercream frosting, all the good stuff. Brownies are one of those things that's just good anyway. But, you know, you layer it with all that stuff and it just makes it better.
It's even more nutritious.
Yeah, more nutritious, yes. Calories don't count in the cupcake shop.
Okay, I can get behind that. And then chocolate fudge, peanut butter fudge.
Chocolate fudge, peanut butter fudge. We make all of our fudge and stuff here as well. So we try to keep that going. Some weeks it's harder than others, just depending on how busy we are. But I try to keep chocolate fudge and peanut butter around the holidays and different occasions. You may come in and find something different, something that's themed, whether it's white chocolate peppermint, orange cream, strawberry, something like that. We'll try to get into stuff like that.
I'm a big fan of the banana pudding.
Banana pudding fudge, yep. That's a lot of people's favorite is the banana pudding fudge. Surprisingly, it does taste just like banana pudding.
It does. It's incredible.
Yeah, just like banana pudding. It's about like the cupcake.
And then I know around the holidays, you do a lot of peanut butter balls, bourbon balls.
We do.
Those are something you can do the rest of the time during the year just by special order.
Yes. Yes.
It's not something that you keep out every single day.
Right.
I know you usually have chocolate-dipped Oreos, the chocolate-dipped pretzels, chocolate-dipped marshmallows.
We have some little mini bundt cakes that we keep in the store as well. We do Mountain Dew cakes, and we keep those a lot, but we also do like little lemon bundt cakes and little chocolate bundt cakes. Just little single-serving cakes, something someone could come in and grab.
And I will say, if you're thinking, oh, it's kind of like nothing bundt cakes, I will say I'm a big fan of nothing bundt cakes.
Oh,
but these
too.
Are completely, they're a bundt cake shape. But the glaze, mm-hmm. I guess that it doesn't have icing, it's
right.
A glaze.
It's a glaze that's on it.
I don't really know what that's made of. It's kind of like pure sugar.
Butter, sugar, all the good stuff.
Yeah, it's real good. You typically have those. A lot of times you'll have the chess bars.
Chess bars are a big fan favorite. A lot of people love those.
And sometimes you'll have those made on top of brownies.
Yes,
too.
We've done chess bar brownies. This was sweets. It's endless. You know, there's so many pairings that you can make and things that you can top something with. Like I said, any kind of candy bar, you know, you're thinking of Butterfinger candy bars right now. A Butterfinger brownie would be good. Two brownies, buttercream, icing, fudge, and Butterfinger candy bar pieces. Crush one of those up there and put it on it. That sounds really good.
I'm here for that.
Yeah, that would be really good. I'm always thinking of something different to make just because I feel like, you know, people get bored with the same thing all over again. They can come in here and get what they want. That's neutral regardless. Some people will come in here and say, I want one of everything except no white or chocolate. I want to go with everything. They don't want the neutral ones. Then you have people that come in and are just like, I just want all white and chocolate. I don't want any of the other flavors. Taking things to school for kids, I see, just because you don't want kids fighting over things. You want to take something to school, kind of keep it simple, kind of keep it neutral. But for the most part, if someone's coming in to get cupcakes, they're going to get a dozen and they're just going to mix them up. They're going to get 12 of any kind of flavor that they want. And, you know, they can come in and grab a dozen, two dozen, three dozen. We've got quite a few on hand at all times.
I know that you have Facebook and Instagram, which are both Sweets by Cindy, and you post your flavors on there typically every day.
Yes.
And if they are not posted, people are always welcome to call the shop and ask what you have, especially if they're doing like an office order or something like that.
Right.
With having the shop and the amount of people that you talk to every day, I know that it is difficult for you to take care of email.
Yes.
And so I always give my couples the heads up that email is not a good form of contact for you.
She may not see it.
Yeah, you basically may not see it. And so I always always say to call first, and whoever answers the phone can help. Most of your team have been here for some time now. Several have been here for probably more than 5 or 6, 7 years now.
Yes.
So anybody that answers the phone can help, can give them basic information, can schedule a tasting.
Absolutely.
And then from there, if you do want to send pictures and get more of a quote, if you don't want to do the tasting with that, they'll give you a cell phone number that you'll be able to send pictures in, ask questions, do follow up, any of that kind of thing.
Yes.
And I know that sometimes it does take you a second to get back to people text-wise, and that's literally... You go nonstop, and we will have a conversation for 10 minutes, and then I don't hear from you for 2 days. And I'm the same way. I remember I always joke about this. Literally, probably after, I don't know, 6 or 8 months of being here, you had somebody make the comment that you had banker's hours.
Oh, yeah.
And because you're here, at that time, it was from 10 till 6. And I still joke about that. I'm like, yeah, banker's hours. Because you're literally here during wedding season at 5 and 6 a.m. until 2 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yes.
And so sometimes the phone just gets left behind for a minute because the cakes have to be decorated. And especially if you're like a 2025 bride, you're a 2026 bride,
It may be a second before she gets back to you, but she will get back to you.
Yes. Promise I will get back to you. It takes me a little bit sometimes to go through things and get to my phone, but I will get back to you.
Cindy, thank you so much for chatting with me today and always taking care of any couples that I know are coming to you. And thank you for sending so many referrals to Simply Love. There are so many that have come through my door and that I've had the opportunity to meet because of you. But I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for chatting. And I got nothing else.
Thanks for having me. It's great to talk with you. I really enjoyed it. Let's do it again.
All right. Sounds good.
For more information about Simply Love Studio or to schedule your wedding consultation, go to simplylovestudio.com.